Now, friends, we're in this section of Colossians that's the practical section. We have seen that Christ is the head of the church, and we are complete in Him. We're made full in Him, and all we need we'll find in Christ. You won't find it in the systems that men have down here. You won't find it in legalism or philosophy or some little man-made system. If we're risen with Christ, we're to seek the things that are above, where Christ is at the right hand of God. Now we've seen that that will lead to personal holiness, and we have talked already about that. Then we have seen that it will reveal a holiness in our lives in relationship to those that are about us, and that is where we've come just now at verse 12. And then as we move on, we're going to see not only the personal holiness and holiness in our relationship to others, but we'll see from verses 18 to 21, holiness in the home. And then from verse 22 to 25, holiness on the job. You see, this gets right down to where we live. It's wonderful to seek the things which are above and think that we're living above the smog of this world. But friend, you and I have got feet that reach right down to walk in the home, walk on the job, walk in a social relationship, and we're to live out the fullness of Christ. And that is the Christian life, by the way. It's not following some little legal system or following some little system today. And I don't care how good the system might be. It's only as you and I live out the life of Christ. Now he says here, he talked about what we're to put off as a garment, as a habit. And now he's going to tell us what we're to put on. And actually we have in this section here what the well-dressed Christian is going to be wearing. In fact, I have a message with that title, What the Well-Dressed Christian Will Wear. And it deals with this section here. Now, will you notice what we're to put on? I begin at verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, and we are to be holy in our living, bowels of mercy. Now, I think the better translation of that is a heart of compassion. Now, you will notice that these things that he's going to mention here are actually the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You and I cannot produce them in our lives. And the minute when you and I begin to think about the wonderful position that we have in Christ and the high calling that we have today, and we recognize as we look at ourselves that we're impotent, that we're powerless, that we're weak, we'll not be able to attain to it at all. And that was the position, you remember, the bride in the Song of Solomon. She knew the kiss of peace, that peace had been made with God. And how wonderful it is that he's kissed us, friends, and told us our sins are forgiven us in Christ. And then when we sin as a child of God, you remember when that boy that got away from the father's home and he came home, the father saw him and ran and fell on his neck. And what did he do? He kissed him. And it's the kiss of pardon, the kiss of forgiveness that God gives. And that wonderful position, the bride then says in the Song of Solomon, draw me, draw me. I'm not able to attain to this wonderful position that I have, and we can't do it ourselves. We find ourselves cast upon Him. And here is where the Spirit of God comes in, and here's where we're told, walk in the Spirit. And we're to walk in the Spirit now, and these are the things that are to be in our lives, and we are to have here a heart of compassion. Oh, how heartless this world is today, how indifferent it is, and how mechanical it has become. I find I'm a number today, and I'm not only a number to a corporation, I don't have anything to do with several corporations. The computer does business with me, a machine. I can't tell that machine how I feel. I can't tell that machine when it made a mistake. I can't tell a machine when I made a mistake. I just do business with it. It sends me my bill, and I pay it, and that's it. I do business with a bank that's got a heart as big as a computer. In fact, that computer's the heart. And I do business today. Very frankly, I had to go to a doctor. He wasn't my doctor, but in an emergency. And I found out all I was just a boy that had a tummy ache. And I wasn't a person at all as far as he's concerned. He just talked about these big medical terms, and I'm not that. But a Christian, my friend, we should have a heart of compassion for those that are around us in our relationship to others, a heart of compassion. And then he says something else here, that there should be kindness. And let's just look at these words just for a moment. Actually, the word kindness is a word that Paul used. It really means profitable. That's a strange way, but it means to be helpful to others. And this word, there's another word for it also, but this word has in it the note of gentleness. Now, the other word has the note of being stern. You can be kind and still be stern. When I tell my little grandson, you don't do that, may I say to you, I mean it. And I'm trying to be stern with him, but there are times when I am gentle also. And that's the word here. This is kindness. And humbleness, that is the word, actually, meekness. And as we've said before, as we've been over these words, it doesn't mean weakness. It means something far more than that. And then you'll notice that it's humbleness of mind. And then there's meekness, and that has to do with the meek spirit. And then long-suffering, and that's a very interesting word. That word here is macrothumion, and that means long-burning, means it burns a long time. We shouldn't have a short fuse with our friends and our Christian brethren. We shouldn't make snap judgments.